The grace of the Lord be with you. Welcome to worship today. We're glad to see every one of you. We invite you to sign the Friendship Register booklet. You should find the inside aisle of your pew. If you'll pass that down and give everyone a chance to sign it. If you're visiting with us, we're especially glad that you're here. We invite you to give us your name and address so we can give you another word of welcome to our church. We're glad to see you all today. Take note of the announcements in your bulletin. We'll start with the inserts. First, the one that says send me is from our evangelism committee. We want to reach out in new ways to people beyond this church. And so there's some ideas that they're interested in pursuing and want to know if you're interested, as well as a place for you to add your own ideas. So please fill that out and place an offering plate today. The other insert is about our next gym night, which will be on February the 5th. This is a meal that is open to everyone. We'd love for you to come. Just need you to sign up for that. Notice we also ask you to sign up on the bulletin board in the hallway for the senior singles Valentine lunch on February the 9th. A number of you have not yet signed up, so please sign up for that today. Notice that we will be having, the session is called an annual congregational meeting for immediately following worship today. It should be a brief meeting, but we would encourage you to stay and be a part of that. Look with me now at our prayer concern list. Invite you to continue to pray for Hazel Guthrie. She's with us this morning. Continue to pray for Hazel, as well as for Rebecca Osborne, who is recovering at home from hip replacement surgery. Also ask your prayers for Mildred Price. Mildred's nephew passed away this past week, and the funeral service was yesterday in Virginia, but Mildred's back with us today. But just continue to pray for Mildred and her entire family in the loss of her nephew. Are there any other prayer concerns or praises that you'd like to mention today? Let me invite you then to locate the call to worship in your bulletin, and as you're able, let us stand together and join our voices. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit who gives life has set us free from the law of sin and death. What the law was powerless to do because of the weakness of our sinful natures, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful humanity to be a sin offering for us. In the shadow of God's peace, in the powerful name of Jesus, and with the hope of the Holy Spirit, let us worship God. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we are totally amazed, blown away by your grace that you would love us the way you do, that you would love us in spite of ourselves and what we have done, and that you continue to love us. But we thank you for that kind of love that is ours in Jesus Christ our Savior. Help us to rejoice in your love and to share it with others this day through Jesus our Savior. Amen. Let me invite you now to confess your sins together using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. Almighty God, we want to live happy and successful lives. We want to feel good about what we have accomplished, and we want others to see that we have done good things. But sometimes we get our priorities misplaced, and we forget what's really important in life. Forgive us for all the ways in which we have put other things before you. Cleanse us and renew us through the power of your Spirit, as you alone can do. Amen. Centuries ago, the reformer John Calvin wrote what became his greatest work. It's called The Institutes of the Christian Religion, and he started these two big volumes with these words: "Nearly all the wisdom we possess consists of two parts, the knowledge of God and the knowledge of ourselves. We never achieve a clear knowledge of ourselves unless we first look upon God's face and then descend from contemplating him to scrutinizing ourselves." The point is, if we just look at ourselves, hey, we're not too bad. We're pretty good people, right? But then if we look at God first and look into God's face and see who God is and all of God's holiness and power and love, and then we look at ourselves, we see that we all fall short of the glory of God. But the good news is that's not the end of the story. God has acted on his own to provide for the forgiveness of all our sins in Jesus Christ our Savior. So rejoice Through Jesus, we are forgiven. Amen. Invite all the children to come forward as we take up the Pennies for Hunger offering today. As they're coming, why don't you take a moment to greet someone close by you? What? So you did a good job. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Ava's still working the crowd. And she's got a full cup, too. Her cup is running over. There. Thank you very much. Try it again. There you go. Thank you. All right. Today is, we're in January, right? So it's the first month of the year. Okay. last year, all the 12 months of last year, you collected pennies for hunger. Do you know how much money you collected? Over 1,000? Try more than that. You collected over $3,000. Now, I'm just putting my hand in here to pick out something. I'm picking out a penny, okay? If I converted all the money that you collected for pennies for hunger last year, do you know what? It would be over 300,000 pennies. But you know, I'm thankful that people don't just bring pennies. And the people who count are thankful that you just don't bring pennies. I've often said we need to change it to dollars for hunger instead of pennies for hunger. But anyway, you do a great job and we thank you for that. So let's have a prayer now. I'll pray and you listen today, okay? Dear God, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you that we have so many blessings. In fact, we have so many that we can share with others and hardly miss those blessings. So help us to be willing to share whatever we have with others in need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you very much. You did a great job. Now you can follow Miss Julie and head up. Oh, really? Birthdays are fun to celebrate, aren't they? They sure are. Yeah. All right, for those of you visiting with us, we are in the midst of a sermon series answering the question, why are we here? And I'm answering that question by looking in five different directions. First week, we looked up and we said that we're here to worship God. We need to start with that. We worship God. Then last week, we looked down. We dug into God's Word and saw why God's Word was so important, how God's Word is a guide, is a light, a lamp for us. Well, today we're looking out, and we're going to talk about caring for each other, not just looking in, but looking outside of ourselves at other people and caring for each other. So look with me now at our scripture for today, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. Let's bow our heads before the Lord in prayer as we prepare to hear God's word. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we pray now that we would have ears to hear what you have to say to us today. Lord, indeed, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And look with me then at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Listen carefully, for this is God's word to us. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Notice how many times he says one. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's start by playing a word association game. I'm going to say a word or phrase, and you think, what's the first word or phrase that comes to your mind in response? Okay? You ready? Super Bowl. Chiefs. Anybody pulling for the other team? No? Okay. ACC basketball. See, you didn't care about Super Bowl, but all of a sudden you come alive when I mentioned ACC basketball. I understand Roy caught Dean. Passed him. It took him a little while, but he did, yeah. Elections. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you think all kinds of words. Okay, what about this word? Community. What do you think of when I say community? What is community, and does it even exist anymore? Charles Reich wrote a book called The Greening of America. In that book, he said, America has become one vast, terrifying anti-community. Maybe so. Think of how we try to live anonymous, separate lives. Now, I'm talking about my age now, but I remember, whenever an old person says, I remember when, you know, the younger people say, oh, they roll their eyes, oh. But I remember when I was a kid, we knew our neighbors. The neighbors that lived right around where I grew up were there for years and years and years. We all knew each other. The parents looked out for each other's children. If there was a kid that was doing something they shouldn't do, and one parent down the street saw it, they called them out on it just as quickly as if it was their own kid. It was a sense of community. Now, our neighbors, where we live now, we know some of our neighbors. Some of them, they don't even want us to know them. They hide in their houses, and when they go to their car, if they can park their car in the garage, if their garage isn't just filled with stuff, you know, they get in their car and just go. The car is out in the driveway, just run to the car and speed away. And maybe there's a wave, maybe not. I mean, it's almost like we don't want to be known. Think about where we used to live. We call them neighborhoods. That implies something about a sense of community, but nowadays not so much anymore. Someone actually said, I don't know what you think about this, but someone actually said that we stopped having neighborhoods and community when people stopped building houses with front porches and started building with decks in the back, so that when you go outside, you're not seeing your neighbors, you're hiding from your neighbors. But nowadays, I don't even see people on decks too much anymore. I still have fond memories of, as a little boy, sitting on my grandmother's front porch in a swing. Yeah, that was in a swing, you know, attached to the ceiling of the front porch, and sitting in the swing and just sitting and talking to her. We might notice the cars that go by, the people that go by, but just having conversation. We don't do things like that anymore. Community, in the spirit of Cheers, is a place to go where everybody knows my name. A place to love and be loved. A place to where I'm known and I know others. And you know, that's a little picture of what the church ought to be. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians this image of the church as the body of Christ. Now, you notice as I read those verses, there are kind of two focal points. One is unity. I pointed out how he kept using the word one. We are one body. We are connected together. How? By baptism. We've all been baptized into Christ. And so we belong to each other. We are one in Christ. Now, there are all kinds of things that divide us. Our gender, our race, our profession, our home address, our family connections. But we ought to be one in Christ. That sense of unity. But then there's another focal point in what he says that seems to be just the opposite, and that is diversity. We're one in Christ, but we are different members with different functions and different abilities. He talks about the different parts of the body. You notice the examples he gave? He said, if the whole body were an eye, can you picture that for a minute? A gigantic eye. No hands, no feet. I guess it would just roll, but just one gigantic eye. That's almost grotesque, right? Is the eye important? Absolutely. You start losing your eyesight and you realize how important the eye is. But what if your whole body were just an eye? See, there is great diversity in the body of Christ. Different functions, different abilities. Now, if you'll look with me in the bulletin, I've given you a list of spiritual gifts. There are four places in the New Testament, Romans, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, and 1 Peter, where gifts are listed. And what I've done is given you a list, not the exact wording that's used in those scriptures, but the idea behind them, and then some attempt at a definition. Now, I'm not going to read over them. You can take time and read over them. You know, what Paul tells us is that the Holy Spirit has gifted every one of us. Every one of us has been given at least one spiritual gift. Now, these can relate to our natural abilities and natural talents, but they're not just that. For example, I'll pick on Barbara. Barbara has the natural talent and ability for music. Now, it's not, when I say natural, I don't mean that it doesn't come without hours and hours of practice. But she is wonderful with all kinds of musical instruments, okay? That's her natural ability. But that's not her spiritual gift. You can be very musical and not care at all about the church or Jesus or anything, you see? It can be a natural ability, but not a spiritual gift. But thankfully, Barbara not only has the natural ability, she also has the spiritual gift to go with it. It comes from within her and her desire to follow Jesus. Now, she didn't know as I was going to say all this, but now that I've started down this road, I'll go a little further. I have told her many times, there are other people, not many these days, but other people who can play the organ, the pipe organ. But playing the pipe organ for congregational singing is different than just playing a piece on the organ. Other people might be able to play a piece, but she has the gift of playing it for us to sing, leading us in singing in a way that invites us to join along and sing. And it's not just like she's performing the piece, she's leading us to sing, and there's a difference. And that's part of her spiritual gift. And she uses that to the glory of God. Now, that's just one example. You can look at the list of many other examples. Not just our natural abilities, but our spiritual gifts. How we take some of our natural abilities and dedicate them to the Lord. Now, it takes all of these for the body of Christ to function. And I will tell you, it takes all of these for Graham Presbyterian Church to function. You may not realize how much work goes into preparing just for you to be here on Sunday morning. And then while you're here, all the different things that people do, and I won't start listing them because I'll leave somebody out, but so many things for Sunday school worship for people of all ages that it just would not happen if everybody were not doing that and using their spiritual gifts. So I would invite you to look over this list and think about yourself. Not what is my spiritual gift like in a prideful way. Let's see here. I think I've got several of these. Let's check these off and be proud. No, that's not what spiritual gifts are about. Think about, which one of these do I think kind of describes me? And if you have trouble with that, talk to somebody you know and say, you know, what? Take this list, look it over. Which ones do you see in me? Because sometimes we don't see ourselves, you know, in the way that we should. So which ones of these do you see in me? You know, I think you really have a gift of discernment. No, I don't. No, remember the other day and you said so-and-so and so, and you know, well, maybe I do. Talk with somebody that knows you well and try to figure out. And then the other thing I'd invite you to do is the annual report. If you haven't already gotten one, we'll give you one in a little bit before the annual congregational meeting. But the annual report has in it reports from all the different committees, all the different things that have gone on in our church over the past year, and it's just filled with information. Read over that, not just from the standpoint of, oh, that's interesting, but think about, where is God calling me to work in this part of the body of Christ this year? As you read over all the various committees, well, you know, I might could help with that. I didn't even know they did that last year. That might be something I could help with. Or, you know, I see they did this, but, you know, I haven't heard of them doing so-and-so lately. Maybe I could help with that. I can tell you, being a leader in the church all these years, I cannot tell you how many times people have come to me to criticize, to say, what's wrong with the church? But you know, it has been very, very few times that people have come to me and said, you know, I really feel like our church could use some help, is maybe failing or could use some help in this area, and this is how I want to help with that. That's the part of the conversation that's usually missing. Usually it's like, we're wrong about this, and that's the end. But there's no offer of, and here's how I want to help make it better. That's what we need. Somebody said a long time ago, it's kind of stuck in my mind, don't be part of the problem, be part of the solution. Don't just point out the problem, but how can I help make that better? You see, it takes every one of us doing that for the body of Christ to function in the way it needs to function. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. You might be thinking, oh, well, you see so-and-so over there? They have so many spiritual gifts. They can do so many things. They are so talented. They are so wonderful. And here I sit. I don't have much to offer. I can't do very much. First of all, don't sell yourself short. Because after all, Paul does say that the Holy Spirit has gifted every one of us as believers in Christ. But also, don't just look at other people and think about how wonderful they are in the church. But think about, maybe you could just pray and ask God, God, point out to me how I can help. And you know what? That's one thing that you can do. And maybe if you feel like you don't have any other spiritual gift, you can at least pray. On the form that we give out each year for you to check to see, you know, these are the things I'd like to be involved in during stewardship season. The very first thing we put on there is I would like to be praying for our church. That's something that all of us can do. We can at least pray. God, pray for the leaders of our church. Pray for the youth of our church. Pray for the children of our church. Pray for the Sunday school classes. Well, just go down the line. Think of all the different ways that we can be in prayer together, asking God. Because after all, it's not about what we can do on our own. You know what Jesus said to his disciples right before he died the next day? He said, he was talking about abiding in him, and he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. How's that put you in your place? apart from the power of Christ, apart from abiding in Him, apart from being connected to Jesus, you can do nothing. But then the flip side of that is, He also said, with God, all things are possible. With God's power, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So think about it like that. God, not just what can I do on my own, but what can you do through me? I was listening to a sermon this past week. See, I don't get to hear sermons. Some of you might think, well, you just don't know how blessed you are. But I don't get to hear sermons, so I listen to other people's sermons, usually in the car. I'll have them in my car, and when I'm going from hospital to hospital or place to place, I might be listening to a sermon. So I was listening to one this past week, and the pastor was talking about some things that his church was doing to reach out in the community. It was similar to our backpack food program, but it was they were, I think, buying school supplies for local public schools or something like that. Well, there was a lady at Target who was checking out people, and she was standing there, you know, checking this person out and checking out the items that they bought. And she, as she was doing that, she said to the woman who was buying these things, said, "Oh, do you go to such and such church?" And she said, "Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. How did you know that?" She said, "Because I've had so many people today coming through here and buying things for this school to help out. It was for, you know, low-income kids who needed help. And everybody who's been doing this has been saying they're from such and such church." And she said, "Yes." She said, "So do you go to church anywhere?" She said, "No, I don't. But if I ever went to church, that's the kind of church I'd like to go to, where people care about those in need." What we're doing today is looking out to remind ourselves that we need to care for each other. You notice what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there at the end of the passage that I read. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. That's the way we need to be, caring for each other. But you know what? The only way that can happen on the local level with us is for us to know each other, get to know what the needs are, and then try to do something about it. Have you heard about so-and-so? And not in a gossip kind of way. Have you heard about? No, not like that. But did you know about such-and-such need? No, I didn't know that. What can we do to help him? What can we do to help her? We ought to, when one part suffers, we all ought to suffer with it. And then the flip side is true. When one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. You know, when I just saw on the bulletin board this morning where one of our members received an honor. I won't mention it to embarrass him, but it was Alex Catalano. Well, you can go out on the bulletin board and read it. His name was in the paper. Well, when one person is honored, we all ought to rejoice with that person. Why? Because we're one body. Every part is working together. When somebody hurts, we're there. When somebody celebrates, we're there. We care for one another. That's the way the body of Christ needs to function. Now, does it always function perfectly that way? No. Why is that? We're sinful human beings. We fall short. Sometimes we only think about ourselves. We don't have time to care for somebody else because we only think about what's going on with us. And you know what? I've told you about that. If you're in that situation right now, just think about one person today. Look around you today. Think about one person that you can reach out and help with something. And you know what? During the time, even if it's a short time, during the time that you're thinking about them and reaching out to them and helping them, guess what? You're not thinking about yourself. So your needs, even though they may be really great and tough, you can at least put them aside for just a little while and think about somebody else. And that will, in the end, be helpful to you. So we are the body of Christ. Notice what he said in the very last verse I read. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So let us function in that way so that indeed we will look out and care for each other, all to the glory of God. Amen. Well, I didn't tell her I was going to do this, but I hope I can get by with it. I'm going to ask Lois Priest to come forward. You'll see the announcement in your bulletin about Lois. I didn't mention it during the announcements. Lois recently retired from many years at her job, and she wanted to, very soon after she retired, go and serve God in Jerusalem. We had the privilege of going to Israel together on a trip with others, and I think God put it in her heart on that trip that she wanted to go back and not just see the things that we saw on the trip, but see many other things. And then she also, God put it in her heart to serve others. You'll see the announcement in your bulletin. It's an organization called ALEH, All People, No Limits. I like that. And it's an organization that provides state-of-the-art medical, educational, and rehabilitative care to over 750 children with complex disabilities. I've seen some of the videos online. And Lois is not going as a medical person. She says, she's told me several times, I'm just going to love on these children, just to share love. And so she'll be volunteering about 8 hours, 5 days a week for 2 months. And so I wanted you to know that so that you could be praying for her. Pray for her safety. Pray for her strength and stamina. Pray for her protection. And pray that God will do a work in her heart while she's gone, and then she can share that with us. So I wanted us to join together now and pray for her as we kind of commission her and send her on her way. She'll be leaving on Wednesday. So let's pray now, and then invite you over the next 2 months to be praying for Lois. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we are the body of Christ and that every member is important and every member functions together. Lord, I thank you now especially for Lois Priest. I thank you for her heart, for her desire to serve you and her desire to serve the least of those. For Jesus told us, in doing that, you are serving me. I pray for her now as she leaves on Wednesday. I pray that all the things that are going on in her life here, she'll be able to at least a little bit leave behind, and that you'll go before her and protect her, provide for her. Lord, prepare the way, those that she'll be working with, that they would be prepared for her to receive her love, and that you would teach her and show her things that then she could come back and share with us. Lord, I pray that you'd bless her in every way on this trip. Lord, bless the entire body of Christ, the part that we call Graham Presbyterian Church, as we're gathered here today in worship. Every person in this room, as well as those who are not with us today, we pray for each one that indeed we all would function as the body of Christ, that you'd use us to care for each other, to rejoice with those who are rejoicing and weep with those who weep. For we pray together in the name of Jesus, even as we pray together the prayer he taught his followers to pray long ago, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you so much.
God bless you. We'll be praying for you. Invite you now to give generously and faithfully to the Lord. take up the offering. And then as you're giving, let me invite you to listen to the anthem of the choir and the meaning of the song, that indeed Christ has no body on earth but yours, and you are the body of Christ. We want to be your hands and your feet. So, Lord, we pray that you take these gifts. It's part of the way we want to serve you. Take them and use them, multiply them, that indeed others might see the body of Christ, might know the love of Christ through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Invite you to remain after the postlude, and we'll have our brief annual congregational meeting. We'd love for you to stay and be a part of that. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, now and forevermore. Amen.